Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to That's a Chunky. Jared is not here today. He's doing drawings for the shirts. But I am joined by James, the guy who gives half the credit to me, and our special guest, Breakout Season 3 star of I Think You Should Leave, Allison Martin. Hi, Allison.
Hi there. I don't know if I'm the breakout star, but I'm thrilled to be in season 3. So yeah, it's pretty great.
I have to throw out right away that if I think about my whole life and watching TV, there's probably either 6 or 7 shows that I can just rewatch consistently. And I think you've tackled about 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah. I have been so lucky. I'm like the luckiest actor ever. And I don't even know why. Like, I don't know. I've had such luck and I've met so many, like, everyone's just very nice.
Well,
you know, I think you want a horror story, but I don't know. I'm like the Girl Scout of actors or something. Everyone's really nice to me. So I don't know. I've been lucky. What are your shows that you like?
Well, I'm looking immediately. Law and Order, Seinfeld, I Think You Should Leave. Those three I have just spent countless hours watching. In The Office, of course.
Yeah.
James is more of a... Mad About You, Seventh Heaven guy.
Oh. I don't know if I would if I could live up to that billing, but
and good night, everybody. Expose everything.
But that's just I feel like if you show up to a audition with that resume, it at worst gets you a stronger look than some of the other people auditioning.
I think I don't even know, because I'm kind of old, so I'm almost at that age where, like, I'm not coloring my hair anymore. I want to move into grandma, but I'm not there, you know? I think I'm way too immature, but I feel like having a resume, you just get to meet lots of people. So sure. Like some things people will just call you and you can be in them, or you can go right to the callback or things like that. And so I actually, because of the whole COVID thing, I missed auditioning because I really do it to meet people.
Mm.
You know, it was so weird being alone in this. Like, I have this weird little space and it's just like this garage that we made to look like this. And this thing is our recording booth for voiceovers, Wow. And it's like, I got really lonely during that, you know?
So for I Think You Should Leave, was that a self-tape audition? Or
yeah.
Did you go in? Yeah.
And during COVID, my 23-year-old son had showed me I Think You Should Leave. And it's like, at first I'm like, what the hell is this thing? Like, what's he doing? Like, and I knew him, you know, like I had heard of him, Tim. And I was like, I don't even know. But then I saw, like, I was randomly picking things and that crazy sketch where he's like in some cabin with a bunch of people and then he's singing and they are dancing and there's the dogs barking and they're screaming, take the hat off. I must have watched that 15 times. I couldn't stop laughing, you know, because it just... It's total insanity. And then I loved it. Like, after that, I loved it. So then my son went back to college and I got the audition. And I was like, I think you should leave. Like, I couldn't picture, you know, because everyone looks really young in that show, you know? So I was like, and they just had me literally, they didn't do the whole script, but they had me like laugh just, you know, find something funny and laugh about it for a long time, and then just this little chunk afterward. And I told my son I was auditioning, and he was like, "Mom, like, oh my, what?" Like, I was like, "You can't tell anyone." Like, you know, that and the time I was in a commercial with Drake were the two times that my son was like, "I know you." Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just the self tape, and I kind of forgot about it because I didn't hear. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get put like they want to, you know, pin you or whatever they're doing. And so it was exciting because it's you know, it's exciting, but there was pressure because he's not in it, and you want him to be in all your sketches, like right.
Sure,
like he's the reason people look at it. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope Tim is the guy that's giving the presentation, you know?
Right.
But that was a great actor, David. He was great. But so I felt a little bit of pressure to really be good, because I think you have to be really good when he's not in. You have to be good anyway, but when he's not in it, yikes.
Yeah. You had a little bit of pressure also, because you're effectively playing the sort of Tim Robinson character in that sketch. You're kind of delivering on the being the person that's kind of driving the wildness of the sketch. So, and I think you delivered it very well. I think that sort of, Kevin said earlier, made you one of the breakout like sketches and stars of the third season, I thought, because of how well it carried.
You know, what was interesting was when I read the script, it sounded like him.
Mm.
And it was hard for me to do me.
Yeah, how did you... Because
it's such a distinct cadence, and sort of where everything is placed, and I thought, oh man, like, how am I going to do this? So, you know, I think after all the laughing, because we did a lot of laughing, like, I thought my eyeball was going to shoot out of my head and burst or something, because I was laughing all, like, for like an hour or two, like, and they cut some of the laughing. They had me get up and walk out, and like when he says, do you want to leave? At one point they had me cut and come back. Like there was a lot. And so then after that, I was kind of so tired that it allowed me just to be me, which is, you know, as I said, lucky. But, you know, Tim was there, and have you met him?
No.
Oh my gosh. He is so nice and quiet, and like, he's like, oh, thank you so much. You're really fun. Like, he's so, you know what I mean? Like, he's not like, some actors, when you meet them, they're just like they are. And then there's him. And I was like, you're like the nicest guy. Your mom must be very proud of you, you know? Like, they were both so sweet that, you know, he's nothing like I thought. Like, you know, I thought, oh no, he's going to. But he was great. It was really fun, and all of us in that room were laughing. Like, so I hope I sounded enough. Like, I hope I did justice to the script, but also didn't do a Tim imitation.
Right. Yeah.
Did you think I did? Did that come across that way?
No. It definitely felt like your own take on that kind of a character.
Oh, good.
For sure.
We just call it the Tim role. Like. Who is I mean, in fact, one of my questions I wrote, which was like, when you're trying to channel that character, like, are you thinking about somebody? Or are you just sort of thinking like of a cartoonish version of yourself?
That's very similar to how I am. So that is so sad. Like, I laugh all the time. My friends and I, my kids and I, my husband and I, we laugh till we cry. Like, I'm constantly, like, I like jumping out of closets. Like, I like being goofy. I just like that. And so that was all good. And so when, you know, when Cam says, I'm going to be just, like, she's so into it. Do you know? And yeah. I really sometimes so like that. It's kind of sad. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm going to paint the kitchen today. That's me. That, and then, like, my husband's like, it's 6 o'clock. Are you going to paint it? I'm like, I am. And it's going to be great. Like, so when I read that, I was like, oh, no, this is going to be, like, very revealing, you know? So I wasn't really thinking about anybody. I just wanted, you know, she's very funny. Like, the character's so funny. Like, she's asking all those people, you know, what's the size of your body? And, you know, it's so, it's just ridiculous. And everyone in the room is so talented and funny. Like, that last guy who's like, I told you I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's funny.
That was the hardest thing not to laugh at that guy. Do you know, we were all just, it was so stupid. It was really fun, do you know?
Yeah,
they're so talented in terms of their writing, because they really have. I think the funniest things is when you have a very strong perspective, and all his things have that, like that crazy thing that runs through the doggy door,
right?
And the guy's like, "It's a pig with a mask," like, you know, like how it's so funny, but they're all very, very different, which. You know, as a viewer and an actor, I really appreciate that they're all his sketches are so different. So no, I think I was just thinking about having fun and being truthful, like really believing that these shirts were the thing, the real thing, you know?
Now, I feel like the big line, the banana breath line, you know, it's become a little bit iconic already in the sort of few months since the I guess several months now since the season came out. But I'm also curious, you know, that's a pretty memorable line, and it kind of introduces the whole character and the idea of the sketch. Did you have multiple deliveries that you tried out, or like did you vary that, or was it that way kind of from the start?
I think that I wanted to be so proud. Like, you know, I just wanted to be the proudest, as if like I had just written something like Oscar worthy. And I think that Cam doesn't talk in meetings. Like, I made a decision that she's very quiet and like very just quiet and alone, because no one really can get her, you know? And so when she says, like, I think for her, it was important to check, you know, was anyone else going to speak, or, and then just to really shoot it out, because I think she thought this was so, you know, effing great.
Yeah.
That she, you know, that she, so I think the pride varied, and I think they picked a very prideful take. You know, like there was sometimes I just did it very flatly, but I think what they gave themselves enough choices to allow them in the editing to really pick what they wanted. But I think this one was a good choice because she really, I don't know, it's the stupidest, like stupidest, I think, thing in the world, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of nonverbal stuff that leads up to that moment when you deliver it too, where you really convey the idea that she's kind of like, she's got the idea brewed already, and she's waiting for that moment to let it loose for the whole class.
Like, I think something like either that mimeograph and that thing or something made her just, or maybe she had a banana for lunch and she just thought, I'm going to open up right now. They're going to carry me on their shoulders, you know? And so I think with this kind of comedy, well, probably all comedy, right? The more truthful you are and you don't like play the joke, which I think Tim is great at, right? Because his stuff, it just keeps going. Like, and that's the stuff. Okay, this is going to sound crazy. Did you guys ever see online Pinky the Cat?
No.
You know what that is? So. When we hang up, you guys have to Google Sheriff Talks About Pinky the Cat, okay?
Okay.
And that's a real thing It's a real thing of a sheriff trying to give away a cat to like people, like, you know, the way they do those adoption things for little towns, and the cat goes nuts. And that cat reminds me of Tim, because the cat literally goes nuts and is screaming, and the guy's screaming. And that kind of humor I love because it's so real. So promise me you'll do that, okay?
Absolutely.
I already have the tab open.
Yep. You're gonna see what I mean, because it's, you have to be so sort of honest with it. And that's the funniest stuff, when you don't, you're not playing it, you know. Well, oh, this is a, you know. So I was lucky because a lot of the script allowed me to be very sincere. You know, she's very sincere. You know, I'm gonna make the shirts. Here's you know.
Yeah, there's I guess a sort of extended or semi-extended period where you can, where your character is reminiscing about the like 2 minutes prior that we just watched, and you're just, you're kind of like happily thinking about it. It's amazing.
That's like me, like right now going, I said hello to Kevin. I did that so well.
I'm gonna,
so stupid.
I'm going to give us something else to reminisce about. James, so this sketch is kind of the opposite of street scenes in a very meta way, where Fred Armisen's trying to impress his kids, and Allison actually impressed her real world children by being in the sketch. So
yeah, exactly. That's very true.
And I have to tell you, I have like, I don't even know, like 30. My husband's the middle of seven, right? So we have, and I'm an only child, so we have all these, all from his side of the family, all these nieces and nephews, right? And they'll see me like in a Super Bowl spot, or if someone, you know, is watching something sometimes. But this was like, Aunt Allison, you're like everybody has seen this. Do you know? Like, it is amazing to me that so many people were like, all of a sudden, like, you gain so much cred, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just by, you know, it's kind of wild.
Have you been spotted randomly on the street?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, everyone wants to talk to me, you know, I talk to me about, you know, I got recognized for that commercial I did where I say expired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yes.
people would say that to me at Vaughn's, and like, that's our supermarket store here.
Yeah.
And it was like, so that, but people like with this want to talk about it, which I think is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
You were really funny. Your ears must be burning. How was that? What was it like? What's the set like? Like, it's such a unique experience, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll pretty much talk to anybody, so like, you know, I'm fine with that.
Bring
but
it
it's
on.
Been it was it's funny when you get recognized for something like this, because I don't know that I look, I don't think I look like that, but I guess.
No, I don't, to be honest. Like, if I think if I didn't know it was you from the sketch, I don't think I'd recognize you.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
My hair is sort of goofy, and, do you know, and I'm wearing that weird jacket and stuff, but people, like, I'll be like walking, there's a canyon right here in LA, and I'll be walking on the canyon just the other day with my friend, and someone was like, oh my gosh, hey, excuse me, were you, and you're like, oh yeah, like, I look like a mess, but yeah, we could talk, you know, so.
Does anybody
call you, and it's cool.
Does anyone just call you Banana Breath right away?
No. No, because I do not have the banana.
That's true.
That's right.
It's the people in the video.
Right. They need to be backing away from you.
And fans of the show are they're smart enough to see that small distinction. Yeah. I mean, like, really, the fans of this show are very sharp.
They are. They're very sharp, and they're all different types of people. Like, I cannot believe all different types of people.
Yeah.
And then, like, friends of mine or people like that I went to high school with were like, my kids had to, my kids saw it and told me, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so you get all these people now learning about the show when you're in it,
right.
You know? So it's really kind of cool.
That's yeah, amazing. you're also in one of the sketches that's like a little bit safer to show to wide audiences. There's not as much uncomfortable or potentially awkward things to be sharing with like friends or relatives. So that's I think like
exactly.
That's a plus.
I'm like rated G.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one's mean spirited in it. Right. Except maybe the like that's the thing. And you know that one where he does the friend one, you just interviewed the guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Friend group.
And I think Tim is so scary in that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a,
like
yeah.
he makes it's he's very uncomfortable.
That's a horror movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but he goes like that, you know, like it's so creepy. But so in this one, everyone's nice, like, do you know, I don't get screamed at. That no one is exposing themselves. I'm not putting egg, looking at a nude egg. You know, it's all good. You know, so it was. You're right. Anyone can watch it.
Yeah.
Do you remember the experience of watching the sketch for the first time?
Well, yeah. Okay. So it came out and. So I hate watching myself. Yeah. I hate it. And I try not to. Like I've done episodes of things that literally I've never seen because like I go, God, my chin and this and that. So my son, I thought, you know, I didn't know with this, I didn't know if they shot like a million things and then they cut stuff. And I thought, oh, I have a good shot of this sketch not making it in because Tim's not in it. Do you know? I didn't, you know, you never know on these things and you don't ever count on it. And so my son came in into our room and he was like, you made it in. And then like, it's that gross feeling like, oh God, I guess I have to watch, you know, I have to watch it. And they took stuff out. And so you always feel like, oh, they took stuff out. So was I bad or did I do it? Or were they always thinking of cut? And then, and so I watched it very little like this. Like I watched it sort of squinting. And I think my skin looks weird. Like the lighting was so harsh. I look kind of like weird. And, but then when Brady, my kid came back in and then and my other kid called and they were like, no, you really have to watch it. Like, just watch it. Don't squint. Just look at it. And then I thought it was kind of funny, do you know? But it's very uncomfortable. Like, do you guys listen to these podcasts? Like, do you feel uncomfortable?
Definitely.
Sure.
I can listen to myself a little bit, but once I listened to an episode of our podcast in the car with my wife, and I had to turn it off because I couldn't listen to myself in front of another person.
Yeah, it's hard.
Exactly. Exactly. I know. And you guys are you sound really good and your vocal quality is really different. So you can tell you guys apart. You guys are really good together, but thank I you. Felt like that feeling of like, oh, like what if it's really bad? But then all of a sudden, like people were calling me and stuff. So I was just happy that it didn't suck. You know, I was just happy that it wasn't like really bad and that people were like, oh yeah, that shouldn't have been in the season. I was just happy about that. So
you mentioned that there were like things that were cut. I think that a lot of people that we've talked to have talked about how much more they end up filming a lot of times than what makes it in. And I think and you can see watching most of the sketches, they're very like tightly edited down and stuff. But were there any lines or moments that you kind of wished had made it in or that were particularly memorable that you would want to share?
You know, that's such a funny question because now I think they made exactly the right choice. Do you know what I mean? Like now that you've seen it, I can't picture it if they had kept, like, I think like the laughing is dangerous, right? Because you have to laugh enough and have enough variation and make it seem like you're really trying to keep it in, really.
Yeah.
And so it's a very fine line that I couldn't cross being like, oh, you know, like I couldn't be too I had to really try to think of something funny, laugh, and then hold it in, which is a weird thing to do for a couple of hours. You know, it's like a weird process. And so I think it went on a long time. Like at one point I got up and had to leave and then come back. And so I, you know, as an actor, maybe just me, as a person, I sometimes think, oh God, I did something wrong, or, oh, but I think now when I look at it, I think that it's exactly the right length, because it's, you know, it's chock full of stuff, mm-hmm. and it takes so many changes. Like, you know, you talked about a couple of the sketches last time that just had like one note. You had some podcast where you were talking about that, mm-hmm. and it was interesting because I was thinking this has a couple of things, right? Like she does the weird line in the laughing, and then she is like, this is going to be fantastic, and has the memory, and then it's the shirts, and then it's the defeat. Like there's like,
it's a
little hero's journey.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, it, totally.
Know, it's interesting. So at this point, you know, I think now it's kind of perfect and people seem to respond to it. So you have to, as an actor, just hope that they know what they're doing. And these guys definitely do. I've done other things where the edit has ruined performances. Like the edit can ruin things, you know?
James, and she's talking Seventh Heaven, by the way.
Your favorite show, James.
Yeah. Yes, favorite.
Yeah, I've been telling you, James.
But I mean, it can totally change things totally. You know? And so I think they did the exact right thing, but it would be interesting to be on that set and see what else they cut, cuz they stay very close to the script, as you guys know. There's not improvising.
We're hoping in like 20 years they release everything.
Oh, that would be funny, right?
Yeah, like Netflix is losing the battle to like Blockbuster 2 or something like that. They just have to like drop everything because.
Right. Or they have a really great holiday party tape that they show. Do you know what I mean? They edit all the out stuff, do you know?
Yeah, I can just imagine. Because I think we've talked with a couple actors where the percentage of what made it on air was relatively small.
That makes me feel good, because this wasn't relatively small. Like they kept a lot of it, but it's always like, you know, it's that thing when, you know, you're in a play or you get a review and then there's that one person that didn't like it and that's what you focus on. So sure. When I first saw it, there was that one, I was like, oh, I didn't get up. I must have really sucked getting up. I was really bad at standing. And like, I'm like, I stood my whole life. I know how to stand. Like, it wasn't that. It just was like, you know, it didn't, it made it too long probably, you know?
Yeah, we have one guy who hates the show called Vinod, and it's like all his feedback, it's just garbage, but you
wait,
still
he
hear
hates
it.
Your show?
Oh yeah. College friend. God. He just doesn't, it's not really funny. Yeah. but yeah. Did you really say you laughed for hours?
It was, you know, we luckily for me. Well, maybe not luckily, but this wasn't the first shoot of the day for them. So my call time was a little bit later, which is always better for me because I'm always nervous the night before. It was a bunch of pages. You know that guy, David, who's the HR guy?
Yeah.
He had the hardest job in the world. Kudos to him, because he had to be very serious. He had all this stuff to memorize, and it was just a lot, because I feel like we got the script late in the game. Do you know, like kind of late, like a lot of times when you book and they send it to you. And I feel like for this, for some reason, I got it later than that. Do you know? So we all ate lunch which can be bad because your energy level's low. And then we shot the scene, which was better for me, I think, because I don't know that I could have laughed like that first thing in the morning. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's tiring. And so I feel like we laughed for a long time because we were there quite a few hours. We were there quite a few hours shooting this. And so the laughing was like, you know, we did all different types of laughing. At one point, they put tears in my eyes and they took it off. So we did a lot of different takes of the laughing, a lot. And then they edited it together, which was, and so it looks like there's a lot of variation in the laughing. You know, it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
I've never done that. You know, it's just like a weird thing to do and be filmed doing it.
Yeah, I think
Well, no, and then the actor, the guy sitting next to me, I actually knew because he was like a coach for my kid when they were little. Mm-hmm. And so it was really weird that he was there. And I guess I strike him funny because he really had a hard time not laughing. And then that, you know, that kind of helped me sometimes when he was off camera, because then I would laugh more. You know,
right.
The laugh alone is, and everyone's looking at you like, what the heck? Like, everyone right. was looking at me like I'm
yeah,
crying.
You have to persist.
Yeah, and I had to just keep going, you know? So, yeah, it was fun. It was funny, though. But boy, I was exhausted. I'm old. I was tired. You know,
it's a lot of core strength yeah. activity
yes.
there to laugh
yes.
that much.
Yes, I had a headache. I was like, oh man, like you know. But it was really fun. We shot it. At this like sort of, I guess they rent out rooms and stuff. So that was really nice because it's kind of near my house, kind of like near the LA Zoo. So that was great. But when we came out, it was dark. Like it wasn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. We were there a while. It was fun, you know?
All right, James, I have a couple more questions, but I've been hogging all the mic time. So I want you to get a chance.
No. Well, I guess, one question I was going to ask is, I mean, you said you were having to make yourself laugh, and I was just wondering if there was anything particularly funny that you were thinking of to make yourself laugh that you could share, that you're comfortable sharing, or that you remember thinking about that you would share that that was able to help you keep laughing in that moment.
You know,
like what,
I
what
have
kinds
so,
of things even.
I have so many people in my life that are so funny. I have so many people that are so, I'm so blessed that way. So I think my mother, God bless her, made me laugh. And I was thinking about her a lot. My husband, my kids are so funny. Oh my gosh. Like if you think up, they are so funny. My best friend, Jean, is so funny. My friend, Linda, Lisa, all these people, like just today, I was on the phone with my friend Lisa and we're laughing about a Facebook post and I almost threw up. We laughed for so long. Does that happen to you guys where you just can't stop laughing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And so I would think about bits and pieces of stuff. And then, you know, I think about like Pinky the Cat's one of my favorites. I like to watch things that really make me like almost puke with laughter, right? So I know I thought about Pinky the Cat. I also thought about this thing I saw online about a guy that somehow makes his own home like jet propulsion thing to take off. And what my sense of humor is when something goes on so far and it just doesn't stop. Like it reaches a point, you're like, all right. And then it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And then I'm hysterical. And this guy, his shoes fly off. His friend tries to grab him. The friend goes. And that makes me laugh and laugh and laugh. And then sometimes, like, I love when people are, like, doing something that is just so nutbag that you can't even – makes sense. Like I just saw this guy the other day on like I don't know Instagram, and he's doing this dance And you think, all right, that's stupid. It goes on like for 10 minutes. By the end, I'm like screaming, come in here, look at this, look at this thing. So I think I was thinking about all of like a mishmash of that. In the sketch, I can honestly say that for the most of it, I'm actually laughing. Like I'm not I'm not doing that. I'm actually laughing about something that I'm thinking about, or my husband or my kids or my friends. Like I never wanted it to be like, oh, take two. Like, because right. That's just cheese bag, you know? So I actually was laughing at, you know, I wish I could give you an example of something like, but I like stuff that goes on excessively.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's perfect for I think you should leave type stuff too. There's a lot of that in the show.
That's why I love it, because stuff goes on and on and on. And he reaches a point like that in this season where he's in that stupid VR. And I just got VR last year. So for me, I'm saying to Brady, how do I work this thing? Like, what do I? And like, so when he said, I can't breathe, I forgot how to breathe, I can't use my hand. And it just goes on and on. Like, I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite sketch from the show outside of your own?
Yeah, and my own is definitely not my favorite. I think, they're all really, but have you seen, you know that thing, and maybe that's where you got your name. Isn't Chunky that thing that's on the game board?
Well, there's Metalloid Maniac who's on the board, and then there's Chunky who sort of like assaults Andy Samberg.
He's in that big red thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Have you seen the game show with that thing? Okay,
it's
so
the whammy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Oh my god! So now I watch that and I lose it because it's that thing, right?
That was on when I was a kid. I always loved that show.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So that makes me laugh. I really like that one. But I have to say, if I'm feeling down, my go-to is that guy dancing excessively with the hat on, with that dog barking and people screaming. I don't know, because I think it's so much of my life. Like that is so the stuff that's happening in our house all the time.
So chaotic. That
it's chaotic. And I kind of love that.
And it also has the element of just continuing the dancing for extending that joke and continuing
forever.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, forever. And I like when you, but I have to say the other thing that I really liked was this season was the cigar guy. And you know why I liked it so much? Because he did not care if he did it well. Like his hands like this. He's like, you know what I mean? Like, he was so over it. Like, he didn't, it was like, that's what I love that other one where he crashes into the thing in a hot dog costume.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's a funny one.
Yeah,
I classic. Love that because that one just goes on ridiculously long amount of time.
Yeah.
Do you know?
So just to point out, the cigar sketch, Driving Crooner, the friend group sketch, which you talked about earlier, and the sketch where he has to be quiet when he performs, all anti-fraternity sketches.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I can't explain it. My college had some really rough fraternities to deal with.
Really?
Yeah, and I just really like that Tim is also taking shots at the frats.
I never thought of that. That is so funny.
Yeah, just a really...
But you're exactly right. Were you in a fraternity?
I was not.
Yes.
I was actually part of kind of like a friend group that would sort of poke at them a little bit.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Yeah, I have some funny stories that I choose not to say on air, but...
So next time you're in a banana breath sketch, you can laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll
there's
have
actually
things to think about.
There's one story that's one of the, it's like literally an, I think you should leave sketch. Maybe I'll tell it in like episode 100. Yeah. And, I think you during, when you were speaking about what made you laugh, you, mentioned one of your friends, Gene. I think you're humbly maybe referring to Gene Trebek.
Yeah.
Who you have a podcast. Can you talk a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So she's just a fantastic person. And I've known her like, we can't even remember, 15, 20 years. And we have a podcast called Inside Wink, which is really just a feel good podcast, bringing like lots of people that are, spiritual leaders, scientists, book writers that are just sharing good in the world. I mean, because we started this website because things are just like, when you look at the world there, sometimes you can just think, man, like, what is going? It's just too much. Like, it's just so much negativity. And as you can see, like, I'm just very goofy and want to share goodness, you know? So Inside Wink is a podcast that we've been doing, and I have loved every minute of doing it. And the people we meet are exceptional. Like they're all like you guys, like very nice people. They're very kind. They just want to express their feel. So there's no real politics in it. There's no anger. It's all just asking questions like you are. Like, it's just a very lighthearted thing. And, you know, to be doing it with Gene is just, because we laugh sometimes. I can't even tell you. We laugh sometimes. We can't even stop laughing. He's one of the funniest people I know. And you know, God bless her. God bless Alex, her kids. They're you know, great. You know, great.
Yes. It's been a lot of, my family was a Jeopardy family, from our early age. We'd always kind of needle my dad that Alex knew all the answers to everything and my dad didn't know. It was just a long, funny thing. And he would talk about how Alex had the cards and we're like, yeah, but he knew anyway.
He was incredibly, incredibly smart. I have to tell you a story though. So years and years ago, Gene and I were in a book club and that's where I met her. Right. And we're reading a book called A Course in Miracles. It's this great book. At that point, Gene owned a flower shop. And I just knew her as Gene, the woman that owned the flower shop. I had no idea. She talked about some guy named Alex. I just thought it was her husband, you know, and never occurred to me. Never put it together. We became good friends. And then a couple of years later, she's still at the book club. And she says, during the daytime Oscars, I see Alex get up there and, you know, the Jeopardy, and she's talking about Jeopardy and what he was wearing and his tie and the suit and his hair. And I turned to my other friend and I said, man, she is into Jeopardy. Like, I had no idea. And I'm like, God, like, I like this show, but like, what is this? And my friend says, that's her husband. And all of a sudden my brain goes like, click, 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 click. Like, I had to totally rethink my existence. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's
click,
so click. Funny.
It was so funny because she's so unassuming. Like, wow. You know, if you met her, you wouldn't put it together, but it was very funny. And the first time I met Alex, he was on the roof of their house repairing a tile.
Wow.
Like, it's just, you know, it's just very interesting. They're really good people. So I'm very grateful.
It's amazing. You know? Yeah. And just, you know, to tie things all together, you've had an amazing career. Like, what, you know, a lot of people are hearing you from 1 minute and 30 seconds of I Think You Should Leave. What is something you're most proud of outside of, you know, in your career, obviously not from I Think You Should Leave?
You know, it was great being on Broadway. And that was an amazing night. I was an understudy and went on very early, and Nathan Lane was in the show, and J.K. Simmons and John Slattery and all these phenomenal people. And they, you know, Nathan did a beautiful speech and my husband was there and everyone stood up. All of that is so wonderful. I won this like little, you know, regional Emmy for a show. But I think the thing that I'm really most proud of is that I think when you are meeting all these people and you're guest stars and you have to sort of fit into their world, I think I'm most proud of the fact that everyone has been so nice. So I must give off some sort of non-threatening, do you know what I mean? Like something, because everyone that I have met, no matter how big or how, you know, involved they are, has always been incredibly kind and very supportive and helped me. And I don't know, I'm proud of that, I think, even more than the acting, because I think, you know, a lot of people that I've met have like horror stories or they didn't like it. I have loved every minute, and people like, you know, Helen Hunt on Mad About You. We had to sit next to each other in that plane show. And the, you know, when I was in getting the good room, when we sat next to each other for hours, and she is so lovely. Like, do you know what I mean? And you think, oh, what am I going to say? And you know, when you remember that everyone just wants the same thing, I think, in the world, right? They want to be loved, seen, understood. So I connect think that actually is what, right? Just feel a connection, right? Like you guys, look, you're not even you guys are not in the same state, and look what you're doing. It's very, I think that's what I'm most proud of. Does that make sense?
It's very fulfilling. Absolutely. It
makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And just to clarify, you were talking about laughter on the 23rd floor when you refer to Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that was just, I was so lucky, like, to be an understudy, and I had not had any Broadway experience. And then I went on the tour, and my husband was able to come on the tour with me because we were just married. And on the tour, I got pregnant with my first kid. So it was a very meaningful few years. And, you know, it's cool when you're, you know, my parents were reporters and my dad won a Pulitzer. So it's always this thing where it's like, that's a big deal, right? But then when you're on Broadway and your mom can come and, you know, she's crying, then you think, oh, I kind of did something. You know what I mean? Like, like I did something, you know, it's funny. It's just a funny thing. So I'm very grateful.
And I'm also the humble police on this show. You don't even have to react to it. I just have to tell listeners, you did win an Emmy as well. So,
that was for a thing called, A Likely Story. That was a great show that I did in Boston, WCVB.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, so that was really fun. We did a few seasons of that, and I worked, I don't know if you know Leah Delaria from Orange is the New Black. She was on that, and she and I did another show together, and that got nominated. So it's been really, it's been very interesting, and the great thing is I was able to put my kids to bed at night, and we got to raise our kids. We didn't have a nanny. Like, all that kind of stuff is really, I think, at this point in my life, I think that's where success lies.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. And I do have to point out, just because I'm a fan of Mark Lynn Baker, who is also in Laughter on the 23rd floor.
He was so, I'm so sorry I did not even say that. He was so kind to me because I was nervous, and he's so sweet. And that first night he'd come into the dressing room and he'd be like, you can do this. Oh, I want to hear a good story. Do you have time?
We got all the time you need.
Okay. So I'm totally nervous. We, Randy Graff, who I was understudying, who's a fantastic actor, won all these Tonys. And so understudying someone like that is like nerve wracking. It's like being in I Think You Should Leave and not with Tim Robinson, right? So it's totally nerve wracking. And they call me up and say, Randy's sick. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, it's just like a few weeks after they open. I didn't think I'd be on for months. And I'm like, no. Oh God, no, this is like horrible, right? Like, I'm sick to my stomach. I had just quit smoking. Like, it was the worst possible thing. And I get to the theater and I'm in her dressing room now, which is like beautiful. And people are coming in, and some of the actors didn't even know my name. Like, it was nerve wracking. So the play is going on, and I turn to the stage manager, Steven Beckler, and I say, I can't do this. I can't do it. And he goes, okay. He didn't freak out. He said, okay. How about this? How about I make a deal with you? Just enter. Enter. Close the door. And you don't have to say anything. And I'll bring the curtain down. I said, really? He said, yeah, I just need you to enter, though. Just enter. And I'm like, okay. And then what's going to happen? He says, you'll just stand there. And I'll bring the curtain down and we'll explain to the audience. It's going to be fine. I said, okay, great. And I entered and I didn't stop. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah,
wow. Wasn't that brilliant?
Like, really yeah. smart.
Right? How's he didn't freak out? You got to do, like, it's so, I always think of that. Just enter. When you're nervous to do something, just enter.
That was
just,
James's first podcast, too.
Really? Is that so?
Just log on.
Right.
Just say something. Right. He flubbed a bunch of lines. Right. We stuck with him. That is an absolutely amazing story.
Yeah, I love that story.
I thought it was just such a meaningful life lesson, right?
Yeah.
Just get out there, and then I'll just pull. It's going to be okay. And I finished it, and I did two shows that day.
Wow.
And it was great. Yeah, it was great.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I've been very lucky. You guys are so great. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure, sincerely.
Yeah, thank you so much. Honestly, this has been so great. I think we should do shirts for this episode.
Let's do shirts for this podcast.
James, what size are you?
You can't ask that.
You're down, bitch.
How big is your body, James? I bought the t-shirt for this. It's like online.
Oh,
amazing.
That's
amazing.
I haven't worn it in public, but I just wanted to have it for when I'm like 80, you know?
It's a nightshirt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Honestly, Allison, you are arguably the easiest interview we've ever done.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And not, no slight to anyone else who's been on. You just, like, in the first, like, 3 minutes you were on, you answered about half the questions I had written for the night. So it took a lot of the work off for us.
I think it's going to be odd if this is a 400-minute podcast, though. So it's like everything else is like 45, 30. And then there's me.
The five-part episode, yeah.
Yeah, and for our listeners at home, we're about to wrap up our question portion, but we have about 2 hours of us laughing back down to the end. So,
That's right. Exactly.
James, I'm feeling like we might be all set.
Yeah, I think, really appreciate you coming on. And this has been great talking to you. And definitely we look forward to listening to your podcast and definitely encourage our listeners to check it out, too.
Thank you so much. It's been really a pleasure. Do you really keep it up?
We will. All ours. Thank you so much. And I'm telling you, I'm going back to watch all the Law and Order, all the Seinfeld. I don't think I've watched the commercial with Drake, so I gotta check that
out. All I want you to watch is Pinky.
It's open as a tab. Yep.
Oh yeah. My god. Then you have to call each other and see if you like it. Email me if you like it, okay?
James has like 15 trillion Twitter followers, so maybe he can tweet that out for the fans.
Do you?
It might be a slight overstatement, but
I'm looking
we'll
at
definitely
it.
Share oh, Pinky wow, out, though. James, we'll share Pinky for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it's great to meet you guys.
Likewise, Allison. You have a great
Thank
night.
You so much.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Bye.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts, the Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.